Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score.
We have White Sox baseball tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. Dylan Covey takes the mound. Southsiders continue their series with the Royals. Baseball night in Chicago begins our coverage with Layla at 6:30. Jason Benetti, Steve Stone at the call at 7. Sports Talk Live on location. Chi Sox Bar and Grill right outside Guaranteed Rate Field. It's White Sox Authentic Fan Night. Make sure to share your Sox fandom using the hashtag AuthenticFan. And your photos might be shown during tonight's game. Get the festivities started right now. And welcome in here, Chi Sox Bar and Grill, right across the street from Guaranteed Rate Field. This is Sports Talk Live. I'm David Kaplan. Everything brought to you by our great corporate partners with the Chevy Silverado. We've got Jay Cohen, AP, Phil Rogers, veteran baseball man, and the man who won the World Series as the manager of the White Sox. He's our guy, Ozzie Guillen. Hi, guys. Good to have you. All right, last night, Ricky Renteria was fired up, pulled Tim Anderson from the game, said he didn't hustle. How do you handle those situations?
It's kind of hard because you can realize the guy's not run to first base or the guy thought the boy got caught. I watched the video a few times before I talk about it. I think Renteria was wrong about it. And also, the kids not run the bases. But when you hit a ball like that and you impress the first move you've done, the only one who got a great view is the hitter because the manager is in the dugout. I might react the same way with that, or maybe I did it in the past, but I think that was not me. You're not hustling. You're not running the bases. That's not the right point to do it because this kid not run the base because the boy got caught. The umpire made that mistake, not the kid.
That was a very weird play, and really easy to see why a hitter wouldn't run. Tim Anderson said after the game, I never saw the safe call. So he saw the ball go into the glove. It was clearly a bad call by the ump. Even if he had run with Bob Hayes' speed to first base, it wouldn't have mattered because then they would have reviewed the play and the umps would have looked at it for about 8 seconds and they would have said he's out. So it was a really weird time for Rick Renteria to pick. And if you saw Renteria in the dugout, so animated, so angry. I mean, it was a performance by the manager more than it was anything else.
Yeah, I think I don't mind the idea of pulling him from the game at that point. I think where you can have an argument is him being back out there in the lineup today. I think the question is, what kind of, message are you sending to the rest of the team? The manager's job, I mean, Ozzie can speak to this, you better be consistent with all 1 through 25 or it can fall apart on you in a hurry.
Let's hear from Rick Renteria. Here's what he said after last night's ballgame.
We want our veteran players, and they do, talk to the players, but there are moments in which the manager has to take control of a particular situation. That was mine. And so when you see me get upset like that, it's because it's something that we preach and talk about all the time. We don't give in. And if we're going to win and move forward as a championship organization, we need fighters. And Timmy's a fighter. All due respect to Timmy and all my guys. I love all of my guys. Don't get me wrong. I love every single one of those guys that's in there, but we're going to continue to do it because it's important for us to do it here all the way through the system because anybody that comes to play for us, that's the way we're going to play.
So there you hear what he said, but maybe he really, from where he stands, you had that seat in the dugout. It's hard to see sometimes, isn't it?
Well, especially in that corner. Most of the time, the coach is around, the ball, that ball hit to first base. Now you have better view or second base, but the ball hit to left side. There's no way you can see it. But I like the way it did it, okay? This is the way White Sox is going to play. This is the way we're going to do it. I see players doing worse than Tim Anderson in the past with the White Sox. They put him out. This next day, they in the lineup again, and they know how to kill it. They say, okay, you're not running the bases. That's not running. But yesterday, I don't think it was handled the right way. In that situation, because I don't think it was for sure he did it. I like with the preach that we got to play hard. When the team loses that many games, the only thing you can do is hustle and play hard. Why you have to preach that day in and day out?
There was a play earlier in that game that you could have been talking about after the game as much as that, I thought. Jose Abreu strikes out, The ball's past the catcher, and boom, the bat goes down, and he is hauling to get to first base, and he makes it, strikeout, wild pitch, and you've got your rookie of the year, MVP candidate, slugger on first base after because he hustled. And, you know, I think there are examples like that. I mean, I think this team does have a good approach. And you know, it's not on a nightly basis that you see guys, you know, coasting out of the box so now they can't go to second if the ball's kicked in the outfield. Or, you know, I mean, I think this is a team that has its record because the talent base is what it is and the experience level is what it is. There are all these guys that are just sort of having to learn on the job. It's not because they don't play hard. And Jose Abreu sets the tone. I really loved that last night.
How tough is it to change, not a culture, because I think Rick's trying to establish a culture, but next year when they go to spring training, they're going to be coming off a 100-loss season most probably. How tough is that?
No, that's easier. This year they're learning because they're a bunch of kids. I say, wait, we have to continue to play hard. I'm not worried about play hard. When you have only 1 year in the big league of a year and a half, 2 years, you have to play hard, harder than anybody else. I think you have to run the bases because people watching you, you got to play hard because a lot of people, not just us watching you, I think people understand paying you to play hard. But I think spring training is going to be easier because everybody knows now what they have to do in the big league level. And then Ricky already sent the tongue and said, we're not going to tolerate this. But that not tolerate this is going to be day in and day out. Every day is not easy to handle it.
It's hard not just on the players, hard on the manager.
More than the manager, because the manager, every time I do something, Burley's looking at me and say, okay, let me see what you got to tell Konerko. That was worse because I was punishing Konerko more than I was punishing Ozuna.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because I benched Rios. Rios making, what, $10, $20, $19 million. You okay? No, you're in the bench. But in now playing, to come to me and apologize to the ball club, AJ Persinski. He not run one time. I mean, just he said, I'm not playing you. Fran Thomas, Hall of Famer. We played Minnesota. He was sick. I not play him the next day. And we're in the hump. We're right there. We not playing him for 2 days. He asked me why I'm not playing. I said, I thought you were still sick.
Right.
And he said, no, I'm fine now. You're playing tomorrow.
Give Tim Anderson credit. And this speaks to the culture a little bit. He came out afterwards, said he disagreed with the decision. He was surprised. But he respects it. It's his decision. And, you know, he'll be ready to play tomorrow. You know, I mean, it does say something about the culture that he felt comfortable saying, I was surprised. I did disagree with the decision, but I'll be ready to go tomorrow.
All right, here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. What should the White Sox do this season? Call up Michael Kopech, call up Eloy Jimenez, call up both, or when I vote, leave both in the minors till next April 20th or whatever the date is so you get that extra year of service time. NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Okay, if I make you the GM, you leaving them both down there?
Yes. I don't care what the fans think. I don't care what the people think. I don't care what the media think. We have a plan. We got to stick up with the plan, and people have to be patient. Because you bring those guys up, what? We got to turn around and win the division? No. They just stay with the program. Hopefully that program work in the future.
Completely agree. What do you say?
Yeah, I think it's different between a pitcher and a hitter. I mean, I worry about pitchers. I wouldn't bring Kopech up at the end of this year. He's had a great year. I would write that off. But Eloy Jimenez has done everything he can do, and he keeps doing it. And, you know, he showed up at the start of this year, and, you know, he was ready to go in spring training. He's done everything right. So, to me, to let him come to the big leagues in August or September makes some sense.
Why start his clock, though?
September.
I think he's ready. And I think, you know, if you compare it to Chris Bryan and the Cubs, you're talking about they kept him there for a week or, you know, two. You're talking about with Eloy Jimenez, the difference between spending this winter, having gone to the big leagues, having been rewarded at the end of a year.
He was one of the best minor leaguers in the world, and they said, no, shut it down on September 1. We'll see you next April.
Well,
that's what I would do.
He was really young in his pro career. Eloy Jimenez has been a pro since he was 16 or 17. I think it's a little different situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think you leave them both down. I'll tell you why. One of the things we haven't talked about is this team is, you know, on pace for 100 losses. I think it's a different story if this team, you know, it looks like it's going to be a little bit better and might be able to make that leap next year. But there's no sign of that, so why start his clock now? There's no real, like, if you thought that they might be able to contend next year, you bring them up this year, get them a taste, and then they can start running now. But it doesn't look like they haven't earned the promotion for them.
Hey, Rick, do me a favor. Can you please bring Jimenez up? We know how to deal with this day in and day out. Every time I see here, I got to talk about the kid.
Right.
And you know what? I say, if this kid, I got to pick him up at the airport for free. Please bring it up.
He's an amazing player.
Well, it's sort of Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of great players in the big league right now, very young, very talented. They do what they're supposed to do. Just be patient with the White Sox. Know better than we do what they should do with them. When they got to call them up. A lot of people talking about how much they're going to pay. Well, why you going to pay them money when they can pay 3, 4, 5 years, the money to save right now to keep those guys in the ball club and put it together.
I want to ask you about handling pitching, because when you played, 200 innings was whatever. Everybody was expected to go more than 200 innings. Now it's, hey, man, we got a good start. He went 5 innings for us and 85 pitches. What is happening to this game?
Well, I think relievers and people throw hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, being since Kansas City Royals bring the win the World Series, everybody out, so you got to pitch 4 innings, then we have the bullpen ready to go. I grew up watching Jack McDowell, Alex Fernandez, all those guys just go by innings. You know, I went to the Atlanta Braves to see Smoltz, Maddox, and Glavine. All those guys go 8, 9 innings. Now, it's kind of weird because they're starting in minor leagues. And I start, you know, those guys don't create a longest days because – now they have a rule like you pitch 6 innings and you pitch, they got 3 score less. That's a great outing. That's another $1 million. I mean, like, you know, before they win or loss, ERA. Now you got so many numbers. Strikeout, ball hit hard. I'm talking about Lester. Oh, he wins so many games, but 90% of the balls is hard hit ball. I don't care about that. I care about how many Lester win or how many Lester lost and what's the ERA. That's only counting baseball, for be honest with you.
Yeah, I do think it is sabermetrics. I think it's that third
so
time.
Tired of it.
I think it's that third time through the order thing. And, you know, I think managers always knew that a pitcher, when he stayed in, especially if his stuff started to, you know, fall off, he's going to be more vulnerable. But I think that the hard data, that you look at numbers and the pitcher first time around the order has held hitters to a 180 average, then it goes to a 240, and then you get – third time around the order, hitters are hitting 315 against a pitcher. It's tough to leave them in there. I think that just that those numbers are so available and compiled so broadly, I think it's tough to ignore.
But we don't train guys to say, hey, Ozzy, you made your mess. You get out of it.
Well,
learn how to pitch out of trouble.
Well, Max Scherzer seems to do it.
Yes,
you know, the best pitchers seem to do it. There aren't a lot of them, but they're really noticeable. Corey Kluber, I think he does it pretty well. Carlos Carrasco with the Indians.
There's a handful of them.
Not many. I think it is now a trait of great pitchers. And it is partly reputation that they have to have the manager leave them in there to give them the chance. And there's a lot of guys that don't get the chance. You know, we've seen Joe Maddon, very quick hook, you know, even with with Quintana, right, with Hendricks.
Wait a minute. You see – Why the biggest reason Jack Morris in the Hall of Fame? He left him in the World Series in the 7th inning.
Yeah.
To
11. He pitched
11
innings.
To win. That's what the highlight for him. He was a great pitcher. But now, you pitch 11 innings in 3 star.
Yeah, right. It's crazy. Hey, thank you for being here, and we'll see you on Baseball Night in Chicago
thank you, guys.
All right, we got to take our first time out here on Sports Talk Live from Guaranteed Rate Field, Chi Sox Bar and Grill. Addison Russell ran the Cubs out of a win against the suddenly surging Pirates. Meanwhile, John Lester's latest start left a lot to be desired. Are we seeing a regression at all in the Cubs' ace? We'll talk about that next. Sports Talk Live rolls on from the Chi Sox Bar and Grill.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move?
I think Pac wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Don't forget, tomorrow night, White Sox Talk Live podcast on location at Reggie's in the South Loop. Chuck Garfine and the gang will be joined by a special guest, some guy they know named Rick Hahn. How about that? White Sox VP GM on the live podcast. Show starts at 7. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/event for info
and tickets. That should be awesome. All right, David Hall with a great story today, getting some really good intel. The Bears have moved on the Roquan Smith impasse and said they will not keep the clause in regarding him getting possibly suspended if he was to hit with his head, leading with his head, and take money from him. However, the impasse is not over. Apparently, according to Haw, the agents for Roquan Smith, CAA, maybe the biggest representation firm in entertainment and sports law, want another clause that he cannot have any money taken away if he has off-field transgressions beyond actual stuff going on while he's playing. Okay, now with the Bears having moved on the one thing, I am dead set against CAA trying to establish a boilerplate precedent that they can use for future contracts. The Bears have to hold firm on this.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is silly. I mean, they're uniform contracts. There's no point trying to, for either side, to try to switch a contract up and try to put something in. And you're right. This isn't just a Roquan Smith issue. It becomes an issue for other players.
Right.
And, yeah, leagues and agencies and unions have pretty much established what the boilerplate, uniform contracts are. And I don't know why it has to get this complicated. It's tough enough in pro sports to agree on the financial stuff. Mm-hmm. Why you want to complicate it like this, I don't get it.
Well, I don't understand. I mean, what's to stop the Bears from just that you make exception for players all the time, but players aren't equal. I don't understand why this creates a boilerplate. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you bend here, you bend there, and you get the kid in camp. I mean, I don't understand why it's taking this long, to be honest with you. I'm a little surprised, to see it drag out into this week.
We also had other news that broke in the last hour in college football. Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer, next to Nick Saban, probably the second biggest name in college football coaching. Urban Meyer has been placed on administrative paid leave while the university investigates what knowledge, if any, that he had about allegations against his wide receivers coach who he fired 2 weeks ago for spousal abuse. Meyer said last week at the Big Ten Media Days he knew nothing about any of the allegations in 2015. But today, Brett McMurphy, a football writer, had an exclusive interview with the wife of Zach Smith. She said, "I could show you text messages," which she did provide to McMurphy, between Urban Meyer's wife and her, where she acknowledged, "Here's what's going on," and Shelley Meyer responded. This is not a good situation. I would be surprised if he's coaching Ohio State in a month.
Well, I think he's toast. And I think with the money that is in college coaching now, the loyalty both ways is no longer there. Urban Meyer has done a lot for Ohio State and Ohio State football. Move on. Go to the next guy. And I don't think we're going to see Woody Hayes's and Paterno's. Nick Saban, I don't think he's going to be there forever. I don't think we're going to – it's a different era. And, there is much less flexibility on both sides when issues come up.
You're going to see him on that sideline this season. I think if you've been in Columbus any period of time, it's about winning. Those fans will forgive him.
How can you say that? They fired Jim Tressel for tattoos.
Yeah.
This is spousal abuse.
I think you want to see what happens here, and obviously it does not look good for Urban Meyer. It strains the imagination to think that Shelley Meyer knew and Urban didn't. But there is an avenue where he can say, "I didn't know," and they move on. I mean, listen, I was saying to Phil on the way over here, I think what happens is he comes back at some point this season, and then they find a more graceful way to push him out when this season is over.
Yeah, I will be surprised if he's coaching. We'll see. Maybe he will be cleared of everything. But I don't know.
Columbus is a strange town when it comes to Ohio State football.
It is. All right, let's move on to the Cubs. John Lester, not very good last night. Had one of those meh starts. Cubs had their opportunities. Before we get to Addison Russell, let's talk about Lester. He hasn't been great. He had 2 starts ago, he beat Arizona. Good outing. But 2 of his last 3 have not been great. And the month of July was not good.
No, the month of July, that's where I was going to go, was, he came out and got this season off to a good start. He made some nice adjustments off of last year. But going into the All-Star break, he was already on a downturn. So I don't really see this as anything more than kind of continuing that pattern. And, you know, to expect him to be what he was in April and May is unrealistic because, you know, he was leading the National League in ERA pretty much or right behind Scherzer. You know, and at his age, that's unrealistic. But, he, you know, for him to get consistently beat around, he should be a guy with a 3-5 ERA and giving him 6 or 7 innings every night. There should be some middle ground between his great start and these bad ones lately.
Well, that's kind of where he's headed right now. I mean, I think you're seeing a regression, you know, back to he wasn't as good as he was when he started, and he's not as bad as he's pitched now. You know, I think you'll see, like Phil said, at the end of the year, you'll see him 17 to 20 wins, 3-5 ERA, something in that neighborhood. That's what he is now.
All right, let's talk quickly about Addison Russell. He came up with a big hit in the ninth inning last night. It got the Cubs within a run, but he tried to stretch a double into a triple. And David DeJesus said on the postgame, Phil, you have to make it 100 out of 100 times. And if you don't, you shouldn't have gone. What was your take on the play?
Well, I mean, I did not see the whole play evolve because I was out here last night. But, you know, what I saw was that was the first out of the inning, you know, when you know, the cardinal rule is you don't make the first or the last out at third base, and he did make it. And, you know, now just to get there ahead of the throw, to beat the throw, is not enough. That because now you have to hold the bag. I mean, and it's an old issue. It's, you know, the replay has been in. This is maybe the third year that guys have known they have to get to the bag and hold the bag. And I don't think we got to see the same replay that they saw in Chelsea. I think there must have been a more conclusive replay than the one that was shown. But I think it's bad base running when you make the first out at third.
No question. All right, we've got to take a timeout. We'll come back a little bit more on the White Sox when we hand it off to Baseball Night in Chicago. We'll be right back.
Join NBC Sports Chicago at Wrigley this summer for Authentic Fan Nights, featuring free giveaways, cheer cards, and live broadcasts in Gallagher Way before the game. For more information, including dates, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF.
Are you a White Sox Authentic fan? We want to hear about your unique Sox stories and experiences. Share them with us for a chance to become our next Authentic Fan of the Game. My brother's a huge Sox fan. Enter at NBCSportsChicago.com/WhiteSoxAF. All right, welcome back here as we wrap up Sports Talk Live and hand it off to Baseball Night in Chicago with Jay Cohen of the AP, Phil Rogers, veteran baseball man. I'm David Kaplan. Let's talk about real quick the vibe here. You're here every night.
Yeah, I'm not here every night, but when I've been here lately, the vibe has been great. The vibe was great when the Cardinals were here. The vibe was great over the weekend with the Blue Jays. And tonight, this is the way a ballpark should feel, and props to the weather, but props to the fans for coming out.
Yeah,
you know,
last night's
game, it's 15,000, but it sounded and felt like more.
Guys, thank you for being here. Have a great night. Enjoy the game. White Sox coming up against the Royals. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.